Today's Bible reading comes from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the saying and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline.
Thanks for that. Rightio, can everyone hear me down the back? All good? Yep, excellent. Okay, so please keep your Bible open at that passage, because everything I'm going to say now is going to come straight from there, and so if you can see that, that will help you follow along what I'm saying, but it'll also help you to see what the Bible's saying there. Okay, did the slides work? Ah, excellent, look at that. Rightio. Okay, so we're looking at Proverbs for the four sessions that we have here. And just to get you thinking, because we're looking at this topic of wisdom. Now, every single one of us here, every single day, face all kinds of decisions. And every one of those decisions that we have to make every single day have consequences. And some of those consequences can't be undone. Some decisions you make could actually set you on a course on your life that one day you would, really regret. And so, just give you some examples. I've got a list of examples of decisions that you probably face. Here's a common one. What should I do when I finish school? What career would suit me? Should I go straight to uni? Or should I work first? Here's some more decisions. Should I own a smartphone? When should I own a smartphone? Should I be on social media? Should I watch this TV series? How much TV should I watch? Should I do my homework before or after TV? Should I get a part-time job now, or should I concentrate more on school? Should I save all my money, or should I spend some on movies and Maccas? What do you do if you disagree with your parents? How do you deal with that? How do you react? How do you handle a difficult person? What kind of friends should you be looking to have? Should I engage in this argument, or should I just let it drop? How do you resolve a conflict? What do you say? How do you say it? When do you say it? What sort of car should I buy? Should I get a motorbike license? Who should I marry? When should I start looking? How do you go about that? Should I tamper with this cricket ball? See, in all of these scenarios, there are some clear guidelines in God's law. Okay, and it tells you what's right and wrong. The thing about God's law is that the best it can do is really give you the boundaries for all of these decisions that I've just talked about. Just for example, let's take the first one I mentioned. What sort of job should I get? Now, if we go to God's law to get some guidance, we learn a couple of things. We learn from God's law that it's good to work. You know, God created us to work, and so being lazy is detrimental to your life. So it's good to work. We also know from God's law that there are certain jobs that are actually off limits for someone wanting to follow God. And so you can't do something that's illegal. You know, drug dealing might be a profitable business, but that's wrong. So the law shows us that very clearly. Any other job that would cause social breakdown, you know, ruining communities, those sort of things you would want to avoid as well. So there's some good guidelines in God's law there, but that doesn't really help you make your decision about what you should do. You need something more than God's law. God's law gives us the boundaries. It shows us where we're to be looking. Okay, we're not looking outside of his law, but how do you make the decision within? And for that, you need something more. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. And that's what we're going to look at for these next 4 days. And thankfully, God has given us a whole book to teach us wisdom. That's what the book of Proverbs is. It's a book given that we can learn wisdom. And right at the beginning, this passage that we just had read to us, it's called an intro or a prologue, and it tells us what we're in for. Okay, we get here's the rundown of what you're in for if you get into the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at that now, and we see there's three things here that we learn. We learn what wisdom is, we learn who needs it, and we learn where you start. And so if you've got your book there, you'll see those 3 points listed there. So first of all, what is wisdom? How do you define wisdom? There's all kinds of ways you can do that, but we want to look at, well, how does the book of Proverbs define wisdom? And one of the best ways to see that is to notice the other words that the book of Proverbs uses for wisdom. Did you see in the passage there? Actually, I need to get my Bible. I'm not going to cause any problems to the speaker. Good. So if you notice there, I got to get the passage. Okay, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. So notice how there's some different words used for wisdom. And if we look at what those different words are, that'll give us a definition of what wisdom is. So let's do that. Let's just look at three of the words that are used. So first of all, notice there in verse 2, for attaining wisdom and discipline. Discipline is actually another word for wisdom. Some translations call it instruction. And someone who is wise is someone who has been instructed, someone who has been disciplined. And so that shows us right away that wisdom is not something that comes easy, because instruction and discipline implies a rigorous time of testing. You know, you've got to do the hard work of learning. It also shows us that wisdom is not something you're born with. That means it's not the same as being smart. It's not about how intellectual you are. I'm sure there's many of you here who are, you know, way higher up on the IQ test to me. Does that mean you're wiser than me? Well, that's debatable, because it's actually not tied to how intelligent we are. It's something that's learned. It's something you acquire through a process of learning and a process of correction. And that correction can be verbal correction. You know, when someone says, "Why did you do that? That was stupid." That's verbal correction. It can be physical correction, and you know, some of the Proverbs talks about that. But it can also be the correction of life circumstances. So, you know, what we call learning the hard way. A situation comes along, it's hard, but you learn through that. And so a disciplined person is someone who is wise, someone, you know, we call a disciplined person a well-rounded person. What's a well-rounded person? It's not someone who's had too much to eat over the last 10 years. A well-rounded person is someone who's had all the hard edges knocked off. Now, they've been through enough experiences of life that they can, that their character has changed. They have a good perspective on life because they've been through enough experiences to do that. And so that's the first thing we learn about wisdom. Wisdom is actually character molded by hard experiences. The second word that we see here that's used for wisdom is the word insight, which we also see there at the end of verse 2. The word insight, for understanding words of insight. Insight is the ability to see clearly into a complex situation. So for example, when I was sitting over there, I was looking at all these cords and that funny looking box with blinking lights, and there's leads going everywhere, and I look at all this stuff and think, how on earth would anyone know how to do all this stuff, to make all these musical instruments work? It's just incredible. Like, to me, it just looks like a mess. But look, someone with insight they look at all of this and they see connections. They see how it all works. Okay, that's what insight is. Being able to look at a really messy, complex situation and to see clearly, to know how, know what's going on, know how to interpret it. Another example of this sort of thing used to be the case when if I ever asked my youngest child, can you go and clean up your room? Now, I probably should have brought a photo. You should see how messy their room gets. But if I would say to one of them, go and clean up your room, they would go into the room and basically just sit down and twiddle their thumbs. And I would come in and go, hey, why aren't you cleaning your room? Now, is that child being disobedient? Well, not necessarily, because I realize that if I give the very same command, but broken down into little tiny parts, that they actually get on with it and get the room clean. So if I say, okay, go clean up your room, but first of all, start with the little animals, put all them in a box, then do the dress-ups and so on, it's fine. She'll do it, no worries. Now, what's going on there? You know, to her, a messy room, that's a complex situation. And so she doesn't have the insight to know how to approach it, how to see clearly a way forward. And so that's what insight is. That's the ability to interpret messy situations clearly and to look for a way that's easily achievable. Okay, what's the third word that we see here? Actually, just on that word, insight, I'll give you one more example of a messy situation. You ever had friends that have had a fight and they're not talking to each other and they kind of come to you looking for help? I mean, they're not really looking for help. They just want to whinge about the other guy. But, you know, and you look at that and you think, boy, how do you fix this? Where do you start? I mean, as soon as you try to help, it almost starts to make things worse. You need insight. Insight into seeing clearly into a messy situation. The third thing we learn about wisdom here is this word prudence, which is in verse 4. It's in verse 3 in the NIV, but the ESV has a different word there. But in verse 4 it says, for giving prudence to the simple. So the Proverbs are given so that we would learn prudence. Now that's a word that we don't use that much. It sort of sounds really old-fashioned, but it's just another word for wisdom. And the English word prudence has the idea of being cautious, so not jumping into a situation without first thinking through the implications. That's what prudence is in the English language. However, in the Bible, the word prudence has a real range of meanings. It can actually mean cunning or crafty. Do you know it can even mean deceptive? This is the same Hebrew word that's used in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, to describe the serpent. So it's a very, you know, plasticine-y word. No, what is that word? I don't know. It's a very tricky word, which shows that it can be used in a negative way. You can be crafty and cunning in a bad way, but the way Proverbs uses it is in a more positive way. So being crafty in a good way. That's what prudence means. So really, prudence is the ability to bring about good out of chaos in a clever way. And you can see how it goes with insight. See, insight is the ability to look at a complex situation and see clearly. Prudence is the ability to bring about good in that complex situation. So if we think again, remember the friends who are fighting and they're coming to you for help. Not only with insight you can see what the problem is, but with prudence you can help them work through it to bring about reconciliation. And that's what wisdom is. We're starting to get a good definition here. So let's put it all together. Wisdom is, first of all, discipline, which is character formed by hard experiences. Wisdom is insight, the ability to read a complex situation clearly. It's prudence, the skill to navigate all the difficulties of life and bring about good. Now, that's too long of a definition, isn't it? You know, every time I get up, you can say, remember what wisdom is? It's this and that. You know, it takes too long. So I'll give you a nice simple definition. Wisdom is the skill of living well. The skill of living well. Who wants the skill of living well? So that's what wisdom is. And it is essential to have. You will make a mess of your life if you don't have it. Okay, secondly, who needs it? Who needs wisdom? And if you look in the passage, it talks about three types of people who need wisdom. Three types of people, but here's the thing, only two of them can get it. Okay, there's three types of people mentioned, but only two can get it. One of them cannot get it. So let's look at these three people. The first are the simple. The simple need wisdom. So if you look at verse 4 again, so it's for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So the young and the simple, they're the same thing. The simple, or the young, they are the inexperienced people. Okay, and young helps us there because normally younger people are the inexperienced ones, and that's not, you know, it's not your fault. It's just that you haven't been around long enough to have enough experiences. And so I know this might sort of hurt a little bit. It might hurt your ego, but another word would be immature. Okay, when you're young, you're immature. Although some older people are immature too, but it's talking about the young people. So we're talking about children, we're talking about teenagers, even young adults. They're the ones who need wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is written primarily for you guys, your age. You are the perfect age to learn wisdom. Do you know why? Because the thing about being young is that you are easily influenced. Okay, you're open to new ideas. You're not old and stuck in your ways, so you've got an advantage there. You're actually you can be persuaded. In other words, you're teachable, and to be teachable, that is the key ingredient for getting wisdom, because you're ready to listen. And so, if you come under the instruction of someone who is wise and listen to advice, if you embrace this call of Proverbs to get wisdom, if you get into the book of Proverbs, you will leave your simple ways behind and you will become wise. But there's a danger there, because what we see in the rest of the book of Proverbs, that even though being teachable is, you know, the greatest characteristic for getting wisdom, it's also a big threat. Because what happens if you get in with the wrong crowd? What happens if you start listening to the wrong advice? Then things could go terrible in your life. So you need to be careful there. The young are actually very vulnerable, can be easily led astray by peer pressure or by other ideas. And so you need to be very careful. You need to make sure that you're listening to the right advice. But here's the other thing. It's not just the outward pressure that's dangerous. Do you know that all of us have an inner danger as well? And, you know, it's not just the outward pressure to do foolish things. Proverbs teaches us that by nature we're all foolish, that left to ourselves we will do foolish and destructive things because we're all children of Adam and Eve. And what did Adam and Eve do? God put them in the Garden of Eden. They lived in perfect fellowship with him. He told them, don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they thought, what would God know? Yeah, he's holding out on us. We're just going to do what we think is right in our own eyes. And they disobeyed God. And as a result, every human being is born with a foolish bent. And a famous proverb is, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. And so left to ourselves, we will be fools. And generally speaking, the younger you are, the more prone you are to making foolish decisions because you're inexperienced. And so that's why it's so important that in your youth, while you're open to new ideas, while you're teachable, that you listen to the Word of God. Listen to people who teach the Bible faithfully. Listen to the book of Proverbs and get wisdom. Now, the other group that needs wisdom, we see here in verse 5, it's the wise. See, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. So here we see it's not just the young people who need wisdom, even the wise people need wisdom. Isn't that interesting? What does that tell us about wisdom? It tells us you never learn it all. You never get to the point where you go, well, I'm done with that. I'm now wise. I can carry on. No, there's always more to learn. Even those who have grey hair here in our meeting can learn more wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And so I hope they're listening to this talk right now. They can add to their learning, it says. And notice what it says there in verse 6, that the more you learn, you'll be able to understand proverbs. Isn't that interesting? What are the proverbs? The proverbs are at in the second half of the book. Okay, in the second half of the book, so from chapter 10 on, they're all the proverbs, all these little sayings, which you'll look at in your Bible study times. And the more you grow in wisdom, the more you'll know how to use those proverbs. And the thing is, you do really need wisdom to be able to use them. See, I'll give you an example of this. Let's have a look at a couple of passages on the screen. Now, here we go. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Okay, that sounds good. Then you read the next verse. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. And you look at those two proverbs, you think, hang on a minute, which one is it? Okay, if you're talking to someone who's saying all these foolish things, am I supposed to answer him or am I not meant to? I'm going to the proverbs for help, and now I'm confused. Which one do I use? What's the answer? The answer is it depends on the situation. One proverb will suit one situation, but not another. And you need the wisdom to know which one applies to that situation. So do you see what's going on there? You need wisdom before you can understand wisdom. And so what we have here is a little bit of a paradox, and it goes like this. When it comes to wisdom, you need it before you can get it. You need it before you can get it. And that's why the wise need wisdom. And the wiser you become, the more that opens up new levels of understanding and new insights, new levels of being able to navigate the problems of life, and therefore new ways of being able to make use of the proverbs. So the wise need wisdom, and as they learn and study, they grow in it. So what's the bottom line there? Everyone needs wisdom. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, how experienced you are, how inexperienced you are. Doesn't matter how smart you are or not so smart. Every single person, all of us here need wisdom. And God has given us this book that we might learn and grow in it. Okay, but there is one type of person who cannot learn wisdom. One type of person that will never get wise. And who is that? Well, have a look at verse 7, the end of verse 7. End of verse 7, it mentions this person who is described as a fool. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. So a fool is someone who is wise in their own eyes. A fool is someone who thinks, I don't need to listen to anyone. I can make up my own mind. I don't need advice. A fool is someone who is set in their ways. They're not teachable. They think they know better than they do. And because of that, there's actually no hope for them. They can't learn wisdom. While they decide that they know already, then they cannot actually learn and grow. And so we have here another paradox, and that is when it comes to wisdom, if you think you've reached the pinnacle of wisdom, you're a fool. If you think you know already, you don't know. And so everyone needs wisdom, but only those who are open to learning can actually obtain it. Okay, so we've seen what wisdom is. It's the skill of living well. We've seen who needs it, everyone. So lastly, how do you get it? And we're only going to scratch the surface at this point, because we're going to have two talks on how you get wisdom in this series. But here, in the prologue, we learn the most important thing about getting wisdom. The most important thing is knowing where to begin. So where do you begin in the quest to wisdom? Well, verse 7 tells us, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So this is where you start. You start with the fear of the Lord. And when I say start, I'm not meaning start like you would start a running race. Okay, because when you start a running race, you leave the start behind. You don't take it with you. You don't try and drag the banners and everything as you run along the race. When I say you start with the fear of the Lord, it's imagine building a house and you lay down a foundation. That's the start. But you never leave that foundation. You just keep building on it and building on it. That's what it means to start with the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning point, but it's where you stay. That's where it all happens. It's in that context in which you grow in wisdom. So the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. It's the source of wisdom. It's the insight that opens the door to all other insights. The fear of the Lord is like the key, the interpretive key that unlocks the door to the book of Proverbs so that you can go in and take hold of all these great treasures of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. So what is the fear of the Lord? Because some of you might be thinking, well, that doesn't sound too fun. The fear of the Lord? That sounds scary. Is that what it's saying? That we are to be afraid of God? Well, not necessarily. There are some times where the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, as in you need to be very afraid. Those who reject God and don't want to have anything to do with him, they should fear God in the sense of being scared, because God is a judge. However, the general way that the Bible uses the description, the fear of the Lord, is in a good way, an exciting way. It actually means to really respect God. It means to live in awe of him, to be in absolute awe of him. And I've been trying to think, what's the best way to get this across? And I think, how about this? Imagine someone really famous, like the most famous person you can think of. Imagine that you heard the doorbell ring, you open the door, and there they are standing on your doorstep, and they say, can I come in for a coffee or a, I don't know what you have, a Milo or something. Now, I don't know who that person is because I'm out of touch with reality sometimes with the famous people. I can only think of guys like Steve Smith, but he's sort of, you know, a bit out of favor these days. But anyway, imagine the most famous person you can imagine. They turn up to your door. How would you feel? You would be in awe. Wow, this person. Well, times that by a million, that's what it means to fear God, to be in absolute awe of God, that, wow, look at God. So that's the beginning of wisdom. And the other thing with verse 7, notice this is actually Hebrew poetry. And so this is a technical element of the talk. In Hebrew poetry, the way poetry works is that it's not about rhyming. You know, in English poetry, we have rhyming, and that's how we sort of know that it's a poem. In old Hebrew poetry, which is this, the way poetry works is you state the line, and then you repeat it in different words. And so what we have in verse 7 is a contrast. We've got the fear of the Lord contrasted with a fool. And that gives us a little bit of an insight into what it means to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord is the opposite of what the fool is doing. And what's the fool doing? He's saying, I don't need anyone to tell me what to do. I don't need wisdom. That's what the fool's doing. So the fear of the Lord must be the opposite to that, which is, I want to hear what God says. That's part of fearing God, being open to listening to him, letting him teach you, letting him define reality for you, to tell you what's what is the purpose of your life, to let him teach you. So that's the fear of the Lord. It's to be in absolute reverence and awe about who he is, and out of that flows a willingness to accept everything he says, to submit your life to him, and to do things his way. And that is the beginning of wisdom. And do you realize that's the complete opposite to how everyone in our culture lives today? How do people live in our culture today? They say this: nobody has the right to tell me what to do. I decide right and wrong for myself. Don't impose your views on me. Don't impose your standards on me. That's how our culture works today. And in some ways, that's just a rehash of what humanity have been doing ever since Adam and Eve. You know, when Adam and Eve turned their back on God, we don't want you to tell us what to do. We want to decide what's right and wrong for ourselves. That's how our world works, and that's why the world is in the mess it's in, because of this very thing. And that's the reason why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Start with God. Embrace him. Now, if that's the case, how do you get the fear of the Lord? How do you get to this point where you're in such awe of God that you just want to listen to him, you want to hear him, you want to do what he says? How do you get to that? And the answer is, it's grace. It's by grace. Now, where do we see that in the passage? It is there, but it's a little bit hard to spot. Have a look at this word Lord in verse 7. Notice how it's in capitals. Well, it is in the NIV. It's in lowercase capitals. And the reason that is because the translators are trying to show us that when it says Lord, it's using not just a general term about God or Lord, but it's using God's special name. It's the name Yahweh. And what that means is, to get the fear of the Lord, it actually means you need to be in a relationship with God where you know him personally, where you know his special name. And how do you get into a relationship with God? It's not by trying really hard to live a good life. It's about grace. It's about God doing something for us that we don't deserve. See, what do we deserve from God? Because we're all children of Adam and Eve. Like our first parents, we've said to God, no, we want to do things our way. So what do we deserve? Well, we deserve to be rejected by God, cast away forever. But what does God do? He's a gracious God, and although we deserve to be punished for our foolish rejection of him, have a look at the words of Psalm 130. So Psalm 130, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are what? Feared. Do you see how to get the fear of the Lord? You need to know the God who forgives your sins. You need to know the God who is so great, so holy, so powerful, that you deserve to be judged by him, and yet the God who is so loving that he would send his only son Jesus to the cross to die in your place, to be punished for you so that you can be forgiven. And if you know that God has done that for you, then that completely changes your view of God. He's the most wonderful being there is. I mean, you just want to give your whole life to him. That's how you get the fear of the Lord. And that, my friends, is the beginning of wisdom. To be in this relationship with God based on grace, that's where it all starts. And you never move away from that. You keep going deeper and deeper into that. And that's the context in which you learn to be wise. So there you go. Wisdom, it's a skill of living well. We all need it. But it all begins with God and being in a relationship with him. The fear of the Lord. Well, I'm going to pray, and then we'll carry on. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great book of Proverbs. And Lord, thank you because we do need it. We all need it. I certainly need it because by nature, we are foolish. We have that foolish bent where we want to do things contrary to what you say. And so, Lord, we pray that you would teach us through this series, that you would help us to see the beauty of your ways and your wisdom. Help us also to learn more about what it is to walk in a relationship with you. And we pray, Father, that you would really open our eyes this week to see the wonderful things in your word. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.